This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
If you wouldn't mind standing, grabbing your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 25. It is my honor to fill the pulpit tonight as Pastor David is in Awana night. I said we were doing that trading spaces thing. He gets to play with the kids and I get to play with the adults. So we're going to have some fun tonight. Matthew chapter 25. We're just going to read two verses and then you can be seated and we'll get into the sermon tonight and what God's laid on my heart. The Bible says in Matthew 25 verse 14, a very familiar parable, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey." You can be seated and we'll have a word of prayer. And we'll ask God to bless the reading and preaching of His Word tonight. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come and gather together and to open your Word. And Lord, it's an honor and a privilege to stand here and to proclaim your truth tonight. So God, as we dive into the text and dive into your Word tonight, Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts. God, speak through me. Use me as your instrument tonight, God. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, the words I proclaim, let them be your words and not my own. Lord, I pray that you would use this time in your word to draw us closer to you. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about the greatest ability. The greatest ability. In the text we see that the master gives to each servant according to his ability. You know, our abilities today that we have are amazing. We can watch what's happening on the other side of the world live right now. If you have a smartphone, a smart device, you can pull it out and watch in high quality something live that is happening literally on the other side of the world. I was thinking about this actually last night, Brother Todd. I'm a huge basketball fan, so I was watching the basketball game as I was walking into Walmart. Yes, I was. It's all right. Don't judge me. I wasn't in pajama pants, okay? So I'm good. I was watching it on my phone, and I was like, I'm walking into Walmart. I probably should put my phone away and stop watching the basketball game. So I put my phone up, and it got me thinking about, I remember when I was a little kid, they used to sell, and I wanted one so bad, the little handheld portable TVs. Anybody remember those things? You had the big old antenna, and it had the dial where you had to try and tune in the station just right. Anybody remember that? It's just me. I'm the only crazy person who wanted one. Okay, some of you remember those. So in my lifetime, we've gone from that to being able to watch high-definition TV on something that I carry in my pocket. The abilities that we have, it's amazing. The information that is at our fingertips is incredible. There's never been a time in humanity when we have the abilities that we have right now. There is so much that we can do. Man's abilities grow every day. Every day I look and I watch the news and I read articles and I'm just amazed at what is happening in our world, what we're able to accomplish, things that diseases that used to kill us can be cured with just a simple pill or a shot. Now, we haven't cured everything, but you realize that people used to die regularly from things like the flu and chicken pox and things like smallpox. Anybody had smallpox recently? No, why? Because our abilities have increased. Our knowledge has grown. What we can do is amazing. Things that used to seem impossible are now commonplace. They used to say that it's impossible for a man to run under a 5-minute mile. Now people run under a 4-minute mile. Not this fat guy, but other people can. I am not anywhere close. I'm a 40-minute mile, okay? If I do that, I'm proud of myself. But a 4-minute mile, it takes me 4 minutes to stand up out of the chair. Don't laugh at me like that, Dane. People can run a mile in 4 minutes. I think Steve Bradley could do it. Anybody seen him running out there? Yeah, I think he could do it. I can't do it. But it's things that people used to say were impossible. Do you realize that when the car first came out, that they put governors on it because they thought you couldn't go over 20 miles an hour or you literally wouldn't be able to breathe. The air would be going past you so fast. That's why they put windshields on the cars. Now, people drive hundreds of miles an hour down the interstate. Unless you were on 75 this morning, you weren't going nowhere fast. It's amazing the abilities that we have. It got me to thinking, with all of the abilities that man has, what ability is God most impressed with? So I did what any modern person would do. I Googled words with abilities. I didn't Google what God's most impressed with. I said, I want to know every ability there is. So I want to know every word that ends with ability. And I have them right here. I Googled it. It's 2 pages long. 394 words. All of the abilities that we have. I was reading through some of these. Some of these, I don't know what they mean, but I'm kind of intrigued. One that caught my attention was alien ability. I don't know what that is, but it sounds really cool and I want some. Right? I don't know. Maybe I'm mispronouncing it and everybody's going to laugh at me and make fun of me. That's not how you say it, Brother Joey. And that's probably correct. There's so much drivability. I could literally read these for hours. I'm going to go through. I have 394 points tonight, folks. I'm just teasing. I really don't. Some of y'all were already tipping on leaving and now you definitely are. No, I really don't have 394 points. I just wanted to make the point that there are so many different abilities. And so many things that we focus on as abilities, but I wonder if what we focus on is the same thing that God focuses on. Because as a follower of Christ, my focus should be his focus. Amen? Do we all agree with that? Because one person amen me, thank you, whoever that was over here. Do we all agree with that? What God's focus is should be my focus. So I want to know from Scripture, what is the greatest ability? Now, before I get there, I'm going to need y'all to give me some runway. I'm going to be like a 747. It's going to take me a minute to take off, but once I do, we're going to get to our destination quick. Are y'all with me? That's not the way to get me to my destination quick. I need some fuel. Somebody say amen. All right. The first ability that mankind looks for, and it's amazing because I was sitting at work today listening to people's conversations because I'm a people watcher. I like to listen and watch people because people amaze me and amuse me. So I was listening, and there was two people at work having a conversation, and they were talking about this exact thing. The most important thing to them, the greatest ability that they could possess, was stability. Can I tell you, God is not impressed with your stability. What do you mean, Brother Joey? God is not impressed with your ability to make money. He's not impressed with your bank account. He's not impressed with your portfolio. God does not look for stability in people. He doesn't say, okay, before I can use Brother Matt, does he have the money that I need for him? No, I can't use him. He's poor. Who else can I? God doesn't look for stability. We look for that. We crave that. Can I get an amen? The world wants financial stability. That's what everybody's looking for. That's why so many people, have, when they have their money in the stock market, they watch it because they want that stability. They want to know that they can retire and enjoy the rest of their life. They want stability. When a man is looking to court a woman and he's preparing to marry her, he wants to know, she should want to know that he's stable and he can provide for me, right? We're not going to be living out of a van down by the river. We've got some stability. That is what, you caught that. That is what man looks for, stability. But nowhere in the Word of God do I see God require financial stability. I don't see it. The world says the most important thing is stability. But can I tell you something? The Bible says four times, the just shall live by stability. Nope, what does it say? The just shall live by? Some of y'all got it. For those of you who didn't, one more time. The just shall live by? And if you're not aware, faith is the opposite of stability. Faith is walking without being able to see. Have you ever seen somebody walk blindfolded? Do they look stable to you? Uh-uh. That's walking by faith. I was watching a video. There's a couple of guys, they're called the Skit Guys, and they do videos for churches. And for their Christmas party, they did this challenge where they have to walk across a length of floor, and there is Legos and mouse traps in the floor, and they have to walk barefoot through this thing. And it was hilarious, and they did it blindfolded. I promise you, they did not look stable as they were walking through there. They could not see where they were going. They did not know what was in front of them. They had to walk by faith. Faith is not stable. And the Bible says that if we're to be just, we should walk by faith. So it's not stability. Maybe it's the next thing that the world looks for. Could it be desirability? It's not desirability. Desirability is the world wants to focus on looks. Fashion. You gotta have the nicest clothes and the most fashionable clothes and up-to-date and modern. And I'm so glad that God doesn't care about that, because I'm one fat, ugly dude. Don't laugh at that. That hurts my feelings. When the Bible talks about Jesus, when Isaiah talks about him, he says there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. That's how I know all these quote-unquote paintings of Jesus aren't really him, because they're all beautiful-looking men. The Bible says that Jesus, there was nothing in him that you would look at him and say, boy, he's extraordinary. He was the son of a carpenter, as plain as it gets. The son of a blue-collar worker. Jesus was the opposite of desirable. Today, there is so much that people do to be desirable, whether it's through fashion, eating disorders are rampant through our teenagers because they have to look just right. If you don't believe me that desirability is important, tell a teenage girl that she can't wear the most modern stuff. Desirability is all that young people, that's what their world is based on. How many people can I attract to myself? And guess what? There's a lot of adults who practice the same mentality. It's all about desirability. I got to make myself look the part. Even in church, there's people who want to dress up and look the part and make themselves look desirable. Boy, that's a good Christian person right there. because of how they dress and how they walk and the Bible they carry. And they sing in the choir. They look the part. We are so good as a society of putting on masks. We hide our true selves because we're afraid of what other people will think. We don't want to be judged by anybody. So we put on the mask of desirability. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna make two statements. Number one, God created you perfect and in his sight. Amen. God created each one of us perfect and in his sight. Now, I do want to say this. Number two, our bodies are our temple and we should take care of what God has gifted us. All right? But you do not have to fit into the mold that the world says is beauty to be beautiful. Amen. You do not have to fit into the mold that the world says in order to be desirable as a man. To me, a beautiful woman is somebody, is a lady who is following God. Show me beauty on the inside, and that beauty will radiate outside. Ladies, if you are single or looking for a spouse, the attractive man should be the one who is following God. That should be the first quality that you look for in a mate. That's what makes somebody desirable. But the world says desirability is most important, but it's not. Maybe then it's capability. Maybe it's your capabilities. You know, the ability to lead, the ability to preach, the ability to sing. But it's not capabilities. Because there are many people who've had capabilities to do great things. The word that's used for young people is great when it's used for young people. It's a shame when it's used for adults. And I'll tell you what that word is. Are you ready? Potential. Right? If you look at a young person and say, boy, you've got a lot of potential, that's a good thing. If I look at an old person, like Brother Todd, he's a grandpa now, so I can say that, and say, you had a lot of potential, that's a different connotation, isn't it? Almost the exact same phrase. Potential only matters if it's realized. You can have all the capabilities in the world, but if you throw them away and waste them, what good did they do? People like Brother Kyle and Miss Lisa and Casey, who have amazing voices, if they never got up here and sang, what good are their voices? Their capability means nothing if it's not used. Are you with me? So if it's not capability, it's not desirability, it's not stability, three down, 390 to go. Are y'all ready? No, I'm just teasing. What is it? I'm going to show you what the greatest ability is. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you're not sure where that is, it's right before 2 Samuel. It's amazing how the Bible laid out like that. 1 Samuel chapter 3. In the Old Testament there, that's the clean part of your Bible. We find demonstrated the greatest ability. Are you ready? Are you with me? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out, in the temple of the Lord. That is the saddest statement that could be possibly made. I'm not going to focus on it. I have a whole sermon I preach on it. I'm not going to preach that one tonight. But just mark that in your Bible. Do a study on it. Think about it. Where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." And Samuel did not know yet the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." Now at this point, Eli is about where I'm at bedtime with my girls. Tell me if any of you parents have gone through this. "Daddy, I need a drink." "Okay, get a drink." "Daddy, I need to go to the bathroom now." "Daddy, can you tuck me in? Daddy, can you sing me a song? Daddy, can you read me a story?" Right? Anybody else go through that at bedtime? Okay, it's not just me. My girls seem like they do anything to avoid bedtime. I'm like, "Don't you understand? That's what I look forward to all day now. It's going to bed." It's like, go take a nap. "No!" I'm like, "Please let me take a nap." It's amazing how things change, isn't it? I'm sure Eli is probably thinking Samuel is just making this up, like he's not wanting to go to bed. And he's like, "Kids, you're just waking me up and bothering me. I'm half blind here. Go lay down." But this time, God speaks to Eli and he realizes what's going on. Verse number 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" You want to know what God values most in us? It's availability. God doesn't care about what you bring. He just wants you. He just wants you. You want to know why? The most precious commodity that any of us possess is the one thing that we cannot save and the one thing that we cannot tell how much we have. And that's time. That's time. It's the most precious commodity that any of us have. And when we make ourselves available to God, we give God our time. We tell God, "You are the most important thing in my life. You're in charge. You're the boss. I'm here for you. Tell me where to go." There's so many times that God calls us and we don't hear. We don't respond as we should because it doesn't fit into our plans. "God, I don't want to do that." We try to be like Moses and bargain with God. "Well, God, I'm not a good speaker." I'm going to make this statement, and I'm going to make it several times. God does not call the gifted. He gifts the called. God does not call the gifted. He gifts the called. Again, God does not need your abilities. He'll give you what you need. You just got to go. You just got to be available. You just got to say, here am I. That is what God's looking for. The choice servant, back in Matthew where we began, the servant who had 5 talents took them. And he made 5 more talents off of the 5 talents he had. Servant had 2 talents. He went and got 2 more off of those 2 talents. Then the servant who had 1 went and buried it. Now, I want to point this out. How many talents did the 3 servants have at the beginning of the story? 0. Why? Because it was all the master's. He gave it to them. Did you catch that? The master didn't look at him and say, hey, how much do you have? All right, I want you to go and double that. All right, how much do you have? I want you to go and... It's not what he said. He said, I want you to take this, and when I come back, I want to see what you did with it. All right, now you take this, and I want to see what you did with it. And you take this, and I want to see what you did with it. God does not call the gifted. He gifts the called. And guess what? Here's the great part. All of us are called. Amen. Now, praise the Lord, not all of us are called to be up here, because that would be a very confusing service if we were all trying to preach at the same time. I've been to churches where it felt like that, and it was not an enjoyable service. If you've ever been to a Quaker service, you never know who's going to preach. It's quite interesting. Maybe a few people. You just never know. God didn't call us all to preach, but he called us all to do something. Here's the problem with us as a church movement today, not specifically Parkway. I've been to many churches, and it permeates many churches, almost every church I've been to. I dare to say every church I've been to. We all want to come to church and get something out of it. I'm here at church for God to speak to me. We have the wrong mentality. Anybody ever been to a hospital? Anybody ever been to a hospital? 3 of us. Okay, the rest of y'all are super healthy and I want to live with you. No, okay. So when you go to a hospital, there's several different types of people in this hospital. You have doctors. They're identified by the white jackets, right? And the big fancy cars that are out in the parking lot with the reserved parking spaces. I never understood that. Make them walk. They earned it, all right? They got enough money, they can walk. You got the doctors. You've got nurses. You've got orderlies. You've got custodians. You've got food service people. And then you have patients. Right? What happens if a doctor comes in the hospital and goes up to a patient and says, you're laying in my bed, get out of here, this is my room. I want to lay here and I want people to bring me food. We would think, all right, something's wrong with this doctor, right? That's not what doctors are supposed to do. Because hospital beds are for sick people. Right? I know why none of y'all are amening, because y'all are already ahead of me. The church is a hospital for spiritually sick people. In order to run, some of us have to be doctors. Some of us have to be nurses. Some of us have to be orderlies. Some of us have to be food service. Some of us have to be custodians, so to speak. There's so many opportunities for us to, rather than coming to church and saying, God, speak to me, saying, God, use me. I'm available. Put me in service. Here am I. I. We want to come and sit and be comfortable. I would love for anyone to open the Bible. I challenge you, tonight after church, you come up here and you show me in the Bible where God called us to comfortable Christianity. Show it to me. It's not there. God doesn't want us to be comfortable. As a matter of fact, I can prove to you the opposite. Because a spirit-filled, led person will always be driven outside of their comfort zone. Why? Because that requires faith. Faith requires us to be uncomfortable. Remember, blindfolded, not being able to see, off balance, uncomfortable. Well, Brother Todd, I'm not super comfortable with shaking people's hands and saying hello. I don't know if I'm able to do that. That's okay. You have a hand where you can carry an offering plate. Okay, you can walk up and down the aisle. We got a job for you. You don't even got to say nothing to nobody. Just pass it down the aisle. Guess what? You can be an usher. Just like that. It's not about abilities other than availability. Making yourself available to God. Now, here's what we do. We are, during invitation time, I've seen more Christians lie than at any other time in the service. You want to know why? Because we sing the song, I Surrender All. Right? Y'all familiar with that song? In case you're not, I won't sing it. I'll just say the words to you because I'm not Kyle, so I won't torture you like that. It says, all to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. Now, I am no Greek and Hebrew scholar, but I do know this. Anytime in the Bible, we see the word all. If you trace it back to the Greek, the Hebrew, the Arabic, whatever language, guess what it means? It means all, Brother Matt. It means without reserve, nothing held back. Nothing means no thing. Not my family, not my spouse, not my bank account, not my time, not my car, not my house, not my job. Nothing in my life should be off limits to God. Nothing. That takes faith, though. Because what happens when God speaks to your heart and says, I'm not saying God is telling anyone to do this. I am not the Holy Spirit, nor am I God. I want you to go sell your house, and I want you to donate the money to the church. God wouldn't ask me to do that. Really? Is that so radical that we haven't seen that? Oh, wait, we did in the New Testament. And then two people did it and lied about it, and it cost them their life. See, Ananias and Sapphira. Is it so radical that we think, oh, only first century Christians had to do that? Why is it that we think that only missionaries have to sacrifice for God? I'm preaching to myself here, y'all. I want to be available totally to God. I have been transparent about this before, and I'm going to be transparent again tonight. When Pastor David approached me about doing kids ministry, I thought he had lost his mind. Because you know what I said to him? I don't like kids. Guess what? Still don't like them. I like them a whole lot less now. I love them, though. God put me someplace, I promise you, I am not comfortable. He may have given me good gifts to use because I'm basically a giant kid, so it kind of fits. I understand now why I am the way I am. God made me perfectly for this. Never saw it until now. But it's something I'm not comfortable with. I'm much more comfortable out here with you. I know it's hard to believe, but I'm actually an adult. I like adult conversations. I really could care less about the latest Pokemon. Don't care. I don't care about the latest comic book. Don't care about the latest My Little Pony episode. I don't care. I definitely don't care about Bubble Guppies. By the way, I have so many problems with that show. You can talk to me about it later. There's so many plot holes in Bubble Guppies. This is a big, big burden for me, Brother Matt. I don't care. I don't like that stuff. I would much rather talk to adults about adult things. But I stepped out on faith. There was a need, and I prayed, and God said, "Are you available to me, Joey?" And I said, "Well, I really don't want to be God." He said, "That's not what I asked. Are you available?" I said, "Yeah. Here am I, God. Send me." And I've never regretted it. As much as I joke about not liking kids, I promise you, I love those kids. They mean the world to me. Seeing the kids that have gotten saved recently, I know that the ministry has had a small part in that, planting that seed. And it blesses me so much to see God working in their little hearts. I wish that we could all be as available as kids. Because one thing I've learned about working with kids is you can get them to volunteer for anything. And I mean anything. All right, I got a box of candy for the kid that'll come up here and let me hit him with the baseball bat. Oh, pick me! Pick me! That's some of y'all's kids and grandkids, by the way. You can get them. And I've never hit a kid with a baseball bat. I just want to make that clear. That's not a game we play. That was just an over-exaggeration to get the point across. You can get them to do anything. All right. Maybe I should try it this way. All right, I got a big box of candy for any adult who will volunteer for VBS. Crickets. Why can't we be like kids? Have that availability, that desire to be used. Man, if they don't get picked, they are devastated. We should have to be beating people off with a stick to find our volunteers. We should be like, "No, look, guys, we're full up. If somebody drops out, then I'll let you know, but I don't have any place else I can put a greeter or an usher. I don't have any other classes that need teachers in the children's ministry. We got no more space in the choir, Brother Kyle. The orchestra is full. The sound and media guys, we've got scheduled for months. We've got a waiting list for volunteers. If you want to volunteer, you got to sign up on the waiting list. We'll let you know when a spot opens up." That is the way it should be. And here's why. Have you ever gone to God with a need and he told you that he wasn't available? "No, I'm busy now." "Not right now, I'm busy." "Sorry, can't help you. I'm dealing with other stuff." Has God ever responded that way to you? But we regularly do it to him. God, forgive us. We want availability from God, it's only fair that God get availability from us. Brother Joey, what's God want me to do? It doesn't matter. Just do what the song says and surrender all. That means everything. Maybe God wants you to be available to start being obedient with your giving. Maybe God wants you to be available to serve in some capacity. Maybe you've got a talent and you haven't told anybody because you don't want to be used. You're comfortable where you're at. Well, maybe it's time to be stepping out on faith, saying, God, use me. Here am I, Lord. Ooh, pick me, God. I never will forget the feeling as a kid. I'm a sports guy. I love sports. Being in ninth grade, I went to a Christian school, and so we didn't have 30, 40 people out there on a football team. We had like 20. I was telling the kids about this on Sunday, and Weston looks at me. He goes, don't you mean 22, Brother Joey? I said, no, buddy. Most of us had to play both ways, all right? I wish we had 22 guys, but most of them 20 guys were seventh graders, and if we put them out there, we'd have to be calling the ambulance a whole lot. I'll never forget the very first time Coach looked down the bench, and he said, Edwards, get in the game. I started running out on the field. He said, Edwards, get your helmet first. I just wanted to be in the game. I didn't care. I'd have gone out there without a helmet. It didn't matter to me at that moment. I just wanted to be a part of the action. Well, guess what? There's action all over this place, every service. Are you in the action? Have you said to God, here am I, send me? Would you bow your heads tonight?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.